Bermuda, one of the most, one of the oddest theological Sundays of the year. And this is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. And we will look at the scripture, and it's one of those blessed oddities that Christ did for us. So we're grateful that you're here on a day that I don't want us to become calloused, having heard it each year, that what Christ did for us in being baptized. So we're glad you're here. A couple of announcements before we begin. I want to say again, because I want to make sure I've got the right list. So we're going to do a little homework before we begin. If you read the scripture through this past year, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. Oh, keep going up. Okay. If you read the scripture through from Genesis to Revelation, raise your hand. Okay. 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 Good. All right. All right. Got it. Okay. All right. Also, if you want to participate this year, we're going to just really make it our focus all year long for Society of St. Andrews. This month we are collecting hats, gloves, and scarves. So we will have totes this month, beginning next week, for boys and girls. When you walk in the narthex, they'll be appropriately marked, and put your hats, gloves, and scarves in there. What we're doing is each month we'll be collecting a different item. And then late October, early November, we'll have a Christmas box party where we assemble. Also, I would truly encourage you, and I sent it out on email, to attend the winter seminar for the Blue Ridge Institute of Theological Education. It is geared for educated laity, and you are all highly educated laity. So it's for everyone, and it's a great learning opportunity. Trinity will be the theological topic, and it's just a great time of focus and study together. I know that Gail and Dave Gardner have announcements. Before they have theirs, does anyone else have any announcements? All right, Dave.
I have a poor stand-in for my wife. So on the back wall on the way out are your giving statements. If you pick up your giving statement and show it to me, you will be entitled to a Linder chocolate on the way out. And I hope I brought enough for everyone. And if I have to haul those few pieces of paper home, and I know any of you that were here didn't pick it up, I will be a very unhappy camper. And my wife will even be more unhappy. And trust me, having been married for 53 years to this lovely lady, you do not want my wife to be unhappy. So get your chocolate and pick up your statement and save the church the mailing cost. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gail.
Come up here because I want to make sure everybody hears me. Hey. We all know that people don't read the bulletin. Tom has pointed that out many times. Turns out apparently people don't read the newsletter either. So I'm going to just very briefly tell you, because a lot of you already know this, we have two programs at this church that help the church raise money. One is Kroger, one is Amazon Smile. If you don't know what I'm talking about, or if you are not participating, please come and see me afterwards in the narthex, and I will give you the information. I will answer all your questions. We also have two ways for you to save your own money in how you give. If you are over the age of 70 and a half and you have an IRA, I can talk to you about QCDs, which is qualified charitable distributions. It will save you a lot of money in your taxes. If you don't have an IRA or you are under that age, I can talk to you about donating stock to the church. Also saves you money on your taxes. I know all of you are probably, well aware of the new Secure Act 2.0 that just passed and that 4,000-page bill that I've been reading, and where it has the brand new provision to do a split entity distribution with either a CGA or a CRUT or a CRAT, and I know you guys are all up on those, which is going to be a very awesome tax planning thing that's coming. If you actually know what I'm talking about and you want to discuss those with me, you can. Otherwise, just hold on. There's going to be a lot more information later in the year as it gets more details worked out. So anybody want to talk about any of these things, I'm going to be in the back afterwards. Thank you.
After you pick up your favorite.
Yes.
I'm not saying all day long here.
Now let's transition to prayer request, and it's an announcement and a prayer request. We are blessed by those in our congregation who have giftedness for music, and we're also blessed in our congregation that we appreciate the wonderful gift, the legacy of hymns that we have. It just so happens that Sarah Dietrich will be singing one of my three favorite hymns today, and it's a prayer. And I know sometimes our mind wanders, and I just wanted to preface it prior to worship beginning. When she begins to sing, please join with her. But join with her, focusing on what she's singing. May it truly be something at the end you can say, Amen. I pledge and commit myself to that. Prayer request this morning. Please lift up Glenn Harvey. Sherry and I'll be there Wednesday and Thursday. He has all his work done at Duke. Thursdays in particular, the day that they'll have the second procedure. So just keep Glenn and Ruth in your prayers. Any other items for prayer? David.
Continue to hold my wife up. She heard her vacuum therapy yesterday. Trying to get that settled so she can keep moving forward.
We'll keep the prayers. Thank you. I saw a hand on this side. Sue.
I just want everybody to pray for the Lowry family. Their mother passed away December 12. She was going to be 100 in May. So she was one of my best friends up in Northern Virginia when I lived up there. And Cheryl is having cataract surgery this Wednesday.
Okay.
Say her name, Walter. The friend passed away.
Oh,
Cheryl.
Oh, well, it's Lowry's family.
And the Lowry family.
Cheryl has broken her kneecap, so that's, it's not just a cataract surgery. She's got to deal with the broken kneecap.
So let's pray for Cheryl. She's having cataract surgery and recuperating from a broken kneecap.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Dave.
Just to report about Helen.
Praise.
This is a praise that she had her numbers, and she's below, she's in the normal range. Now she's gone from 450 a few months ago down to 24, and the normal is 35 and below. So, but she's a fighter, and the doctor told her that she doesn't have to have her last treatment, but she says, no, I'm not hearing it. She says, I want to get down to 10.
Good.
So she gets her last treatment on either Tuesday or Thursday. I'm not sure which. But,
well, praise God for that. Let her know.
Keep praying for her.
We're rejoicing with her and praying for her. Thank you. I saw a hand. Yes, Ann.
If you could just pray for our son. He's leaving. Well, he left this morning for Alaska, and they'll be surveying communication satellites in remote islands, so they'll just be dropped off with their survival gear. So.
And he's been in Key West, right?
Yeah, so
wow. So he's flying from Key West to Florida, Alaska, so that'll be quite a transition. So let's keep John Banky in our prayers as he serves our country. Thank you for that. Keep his parents in prayers too as they work for their son. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what joy we forfeit, Father, when we fail to bring everything to you in prayer. We come asking you, first and foremost, that you would forgive us of our stubbornness often in thinking that we are to do life on our own, insisting that we get to do life on our own, holding in our hands or in our hearts or in our minds all the worries and cares and frustrations that you never intended for your children to bear. You bore our sin so that we could be your children. And as your children, we hear your call clearly and firmly, not optional, that we are to cast all our cares upon you. For one simple reason, not that we are worthy, not that we deserve it, but for the simple reason that you care for us. So we come and we give these things to you. We praise you for all the good that we have in our lives, for warm homes and buildings, for good health, for just awakening us this morning. We thank you for specific gifts that you give, for good reports, and we rejoice with Helen and pray that it will continue to go well. We ask your blessings and give you thanks in advance for Cheryl and her cataract surgery on Wednesday, the recuperation of her knee. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen Bea. We thank you for her dedicated service to our congregation. And we just pray that she will continue to be strengthened. We thank you for the weekend that she had with family. And we just pray that will hold her in good stead. I pray that you would be with John as he is traveling to Alaska. We know that you are the God who is equally present and equally protective wherever we are. So we pray you would put a hedge of protection around him. Thank you for the service that he and other men and women render in serving and defending us. And we pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would be with the Lowry family and their loss. Draw close to them, comfort them as only a loving, eternal Father can. And we do ask that you would be with Glenn and Ruth. We just pray that you would draw close to one who truly lives his life in dependence upon you. And Lord, we all seek to do that, and we must confess that sometimes it's much easier to do that than others. But we thank you that the veracity of the truth we heard in the light is not lessened when we walk through valleys that appear very dark. So we just pray that you'll encourage both Glenn and Ruth. May the procedure go well, and may we all stand on the other side of that procedure, praising you for your goodness. Thank you that we have gathered together today in your house. May our only desire be to seek you, meeting you where you promised to come to us. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me, we'll use the entirety of Psalm 29 by a whole verse, calling each to worship, then we'll stand and sing hymn 398. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe, and shivers the forest bare.
And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessings of peace.
Thank you.
first reading appointed for today is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
and set him apart as your agent of grace for your creation. May we who are baptized into his life also be sent as agents of grace into your world through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, who has through his work transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and as children of light we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading appointed for today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of light. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But for the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. glory of God and the good of our neighbors. To your praise above all things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, no.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 17 through 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
If you'd like to follow along the words, the hymn is hymn 83.
Be thou my
Zechariah, the high priest, Elizabeth, who was extremely devout. John would have, following the dictates of Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema, he would have grown up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It would have been communicated to John that we are looking forward to this Messiah, this anointed one, this Christos, who would come and would be God's anointed, the altogether lovely one, one who is absolutely perfect and holy. And here he is, asking to be baptized. Here he is showing up for a sinner's bath, one that the early church called a mortification rite. For it's in baptism where we put to death that which is in us, which is unholy and sinful. So what in the world is Jesus doing here? If we are honest, and we stood at the beginning of the readings, not 2,000 years after having read this in Matthew, where the story can get somewhat stale and we understand the issue, we probably would have protested too. We probably would have also said, as John did, this isn't the type of Savior I want. I don't want one that's coming in humble and submissive. I want one more mightier than I am. Misery might love company, but at the end of the day, misery really wants someone who's not miserable to rescue them. And we may like the friendship and collegiality that we have among sinners, but we need someone who's sinless, someone who's mightier than we are, to lift us. And here Jesus comes to receive the baptism that John is offering to rape sinners. Jesus responds in the gospel lesson that we read that he had to do it. He had to do it. It wasn't just some photo opportunity that Jesus was doing, like people that travel to the Holy Land when they see the Jordan River and want to get baptized so they can show that they've been baptized in the famous water. Jesus isn't just doing it as a nice, polite thing to let people know he approved of his cousin's ministry. Jesus said, I must do it to fulfill all righteousness. Let me give you a brief and I hope not boring theological reason. Why had Jesus not have submitted to the baptism that John was offering, we would be dead in our trespasses and sin. He had to do it to fulfill all righteousness. And he had to do it to fulfill all righteousness for two chief reasons. And the first one is, because of the perfection of the sacrifice. Because of the perfection of the sacrifice. See, if you read in the Old Testament, it's quite clear. We read it in Exodus, we read it in Leviticus, we read it in Numbers, Deuteronomy. We hear the prophet saying you haven't done it. And that is that if you are going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, it had to be perfect. It had to be blemish-free. It had to be blameless. An unblemished lamb is what he brought. It had to be completely pure. Had Jesus not been absolutely perfect, he couldn't have been our Savior. Sometimes when we are evangelizing people or talking to people about the faith, and sometimes, unfortunately, pastors can do this, we sort of can communicate that Jesus did for us what we would have had to do had Jesus not done it. In other words, they try to present it that you either accept Christ's sacrifice and forgiveness of your sins, or you have to do it on your own. Well, brothers and sisters, in a real way, he was our stead, but the truth of the matter is, even if I died the same horrific death that Christ did, I could not atone for my own sins. Because I am not a perfect sacrifice. You could not have atoned for your sins, for you are not a perfect sacrifice. It's not like, well, thanks for taking my place, but I could have just as soon done it, Jesus. The truth of the scripture is, had Christ not been willing to become perfect in his obedience, there would have been no sacrifice. There would have been no atonement. See, Christ had to be perfectly obedient. And when we speak of obedience, he had to be perfectly obedient in an active and a passive way. He not only had to be passively perfect in the sense that he allowed all of the punitiveness of being disobedient to come upon him through the cross. He also had to be perfect in active obedience. He was born under the law and he fulfilled all the law. Even though the Pharisees couldn't wrap their brain around it, even though the Sadducees and all the scribes thought he was a lawbreaker, he was breaking their law. He perfectly fulfilled the law of the Father. In Calvin, John Calvin's commentary on this, I love how he put it. He simply said that Jesus had to be baptized to offer his Father full obedience. To offer his Father full obedience. So he was perfectly obedient and became the perfect sacrifice for us. But there's a second reason, and one that I want to focus on, is he not only had to be baptized for the perfection of the sacrifice, but the one that is just real fun to preach about and to hear and to receive, is he had to do it to identify with humanity. He had to do it to identify with you. Now, I'm touched when I see people show compassion. I was reading just yesterday, we were at a meeting that helps children that go through horrific situations, burned and deformities. And one was sharing, and you've heard stories like this, and they never lose their pungency just because it's replicated often. And it was a school where a 9-year-old got cancer, and the 9-year-old had to receive chemo for the cancer. And as a result, often chemo, the 9-year-old girl lost her hair. And you know where this story is going. And in this story, they read to us, this teacher came in the next day completely bald. The teacher had shaven her hair. And then by the end of the week, the entirety of the class and much of the school, elementary school, were all bald. For nothing other than identification. And see, in somewhat in a crude way, the way Jesus is responded to by John, it'd be like me showing up at the barber and saying, you know, you need to cut my hair off. Why? Well, you don't have to do it. Yeah, I know, but I want to identify with. See, Jesus Christ identified with us. There's words used in Scripture that are all extremely important to this. There are words like participate, communion, join, partake. We read in 1 Corinthians 10 that don't we partake of, we commune with when we take the Lord's Supper. You know, as a side note, and I think about it often, one of the crying shames that I sort of regret is that we have a storage unit. I'm grateful for our storage unit. But we have a storage unit that's absolutely full of beautiful furniture and furnishings that Bill Warman crafted for this church. And my favorite is the baptismal font that he crafted. And one of the regrets that I have is, if you remember, and you probably do, when we had our own building, because it's far too heavy to move in and out every Sunday. But do you remember where the baptismal font stood in our old building? Right in the middle of the doorway. When you went from being in the outer room, the narthex, and you came into the sanctuary. In fact, to be quite blunt, sometimes we were walking in and people were talking. It really got in the way sometimes, didn't it? Praise be unto God that it got in the way. For it reminded us, as that laver did outside the tabernacle, it reminded us that the only access we have is through the fact that in baptism, Christ Jesus identified with us. He took upon us, upon him, that which we deserved. And he did it fully. And one of my favorite stories has been made into a play and a movie by Dorothy Sayers, one of the Inklings with C.S. Lewis, in a book called The Man Born to Be King. She writes this: "The master is the only good man I ever met who knew how miserable it felt to be bad. It was as if he got right inside you and felt all the horrible things you were doing to yourself." See, you ever heard of doctors, and we all want them, that have good bedside manners? Doctors that are kind and compassionate, doctors that will listen, doctors that will sympathize. I want you to understand that we're not even able to understand how Jesus Christ identifies with us. He understands our pain and the misery we feel even better than we do. He identified completely with us. And therefore, as we are baptized, we identify with him. And there we have that wonderful exchange. He identified with sinners in baptism. Didn't need to. But to fulfill all righteousness, he identified with sinners in baptism, and it led to his death, didn't it? And we identify with Christ in baptism, and it leads to our life, doesn't it? What a happy exchange. Turn with me as we just let Scripture explain itself far better than I can. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. See, all of the Old Testament, that old covenant that John the Baptist was well schooled in, they believed with Jeremiah that in those days, this is a name that he shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. John understood that. That's why he sought to prevent Christ from being baptized in a sinner's bath. But what we now see is this reversal, where we not only go from saying the Lord is our righteousness, look to what Paul says is the ultimate of this identification and the exchange that follows from it. First Corinthians 5:16. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God." All this is from God. Baptism is a very dynamic activity. It's a lot of activity and action going on in baptism. And who is doing it all? God. We do not believe, nor does Scripture teach, nor has the church ever believed through the majority of its history, that baptism is something that's because of my obedience I am baptized. I'm not baptized because of my obedience. I'm baptized because of Christ's obedience. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us a message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, this sums it up in verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you feel like the righteousness of God in Christ? Do you think you earned the title? Does your spouse think you earned the title? The righteousness of God in Christ? Apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ and his perfect obedience and identification with us, this would not only be extremely audacious to say, it'd be blasphemous to say. But we are not apart from the perfect obedience of Christ. We're not apart from his identification with Christ. We are completely in it. And therefore, when we are baptized, when we remember we are baptized, the same two things happen to us that happened to Jesus in this identification. Look again in Matthew 3:13. What two things happened? We heard the approval of the Father. And when we are in Christ, when we are baptized, when we remember we are baptized, we are also approved by the Father. You ever been in a classroom and the teacher punished everyone because one person messed up? The whole class had to miss recess because of one person? Of course we have. Now, I'm not going to enter into that didactic philosophy. I don't know if it works or not. But I guarantee you this, in classes I've been in, when the whole class misses recess because of the misbehavior of one, I know how I feel. How did you feel toward that one? That's the way I thought. We couldn't stand them. This is the reversal of that. The whole class is getting the rest of the week off. The whole class is getting more than we can even think or imagine. Not because we've done anything, but because one in our class, one who identified with us perfectly, did it all. And I'm not judged according to me, I'm judged according to Christ. And he was approved by the Father. And in Christ, you are approved by the Father. That's why it's good news. But then the second thing that happened at his baptism happens to us. The Holy Spirit fell upon him. And the Holy Spirit falls upon us. It's not something we have to agonize over and seek, and one day maybe we'll get the Holy Spirit. It came upon us at baptism, as the scripture. We have it. We have the gift of the precious Holy Spirit. And let me ask you, if you listened attentively, what was the form the Holy Spirit took when it landed upon Jesus? A dove. And if we allow scripture to interpret scripture, where did that happen before? Do you remember when Noah, when all the world was destroyed, and Noah and his family, not because of anything other than they heard and believed the promise, was saved through the flood? Do you remember what the sign was that God said, okay, now you can get out. Now we've transitioned from being one where there was judgment and destruction, and now you can come out and live in absolute grace. Because Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. through the work of Christ. Brothers and sisters, the good news I offer you today because of the one willing to identify with you is you have found favor in the sight of the Lord. That's good news. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words in the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of hope, in your Holy Spirit, you hovered over the face of the waters in creation. And in the pillar of fire, you led your people to liberation across the Red Sea. Through the waters you brought your people into the life and land of promise. In your Son's baptism at the Jordan, we see your creative and liberating purpose at work amid our human flaws and failures, and we hear anew with hope the promise of your voice. In our own baptism, you number us among your saints, created and redeemed for your glory. Through baptism, you bury us in death with Christ, yet raise us to new life with him forever. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed God, who sent down your Holy Spirit like a dove upon your beloved, send your Spirit among us now to sanctify us by your grace. By the power of that same Spirit, make these gifts of bread and wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again, having given you thanks, he distributed it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Father of glory, you have opened your heaven and come among us. Be close to those who ache for your liberating power in the midst of travails and seek your open heaven. Visit all who need the healing, forgiving, peacemaking, and restoring touch of your Spirit and look for your kingdom to come. Bless all who long to be called beloved by sibling or parent or spouse or friend or child, and any who are searching for the love that only you can bring. Until all stand in your presence and sing your name and are enfolded in your embrace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we come to this table of promise, knowing that as we come with sincerity and truth in our hearts, seeking Christ, we will find Him. And it's not because we climbed some ladder or we are ascended to some heavenly place. It's rather that Christ continues to do what He's always done, and that is descend to where we are. And the joy in that is knowing, as David confessed, that wherever we go, even to the lowest pit of Sheol, wherever we are this morning, it is not so low that the descending love of Christ doesn't come to where we are, meet us in His very promise that He would be here. So I do invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to find Him true to His word, to taste and see that He is good.
Thank you.
You have called us to the table. Is not the bread that we partake the very body of Christ? Is not the blood that we commune the very blood of Christ? And are not we the body of Christ, made one in Him? This is our joy. This is our hope. This is our strength. We pray through your Spirit that it would be our vision, both now and forevermore. Amen. I'd ask us to stand as we close our worship, singing the final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.